Tip and Mr. Shah, President, and members of Rotary and Lions and Apex and any other community services which are here tonight, and ladies and gentlemen, I would just like to start by reaffirming to you all that I'm very glad to be with you at any time, and especially tonight, which gives me the opportunity to meet and talk to members of service clubs and organizations. Because during the last couple of years or so, I have come to admire very much what you do for the community. And I think it's a vitally important part of our way of life, which flourishes in a voluntary atmosphere. And I have come here in that voluntary spirit, hoping that it will help in some small way in these rather anxious times. I think most of you know that I was born and bred here, and I'm very, very proud of that. And although I deserted when I was young, I shall always admire and respect the special characteristics of courage, of fortitude, of initiative, and friendliness of Goldfields people. Characteristics which sometimes manifest themselves in the form of a dogged obstinacy when the cause is right, and which I hope, indeed I am assured by my wife, has rubbed off on me in some form or other. At this time, people in the whole of this state of Western Australia are celebrating achievements of the past, and they are taking stock, optimistically I hope, of the present and the future prospects. And obviously you would wish me to do the same, and it gives me very great pleasure to join with you. Because personally I think that it is good for us to enjoy the luxury of recalling the achievements of our own community and its contribution to the progress and the well-being of the state as a whole. And I don't believe that we should be shy or we should be cynical about this. History is a great teacher, and pride in achievement, a natural stimulant, much more potent and much more lasting than the sort of antidepressant pills which tend to be the prescription these days. And I think we can do ourselves good, mentally at any rate, by recalling that the Goldfields was for many years the mainstay of the economy of this state. More than 1,200 tons of gold valued at something like $700 million been produced over the years, and a fair bit by any standards, and that it continued to make a particularly valuable contribution during the depression of the late 20s and 30s, and later to the Commonwealth in the United States dollar credits at a very critical period after World War II. Not everyone knows this. I know that we cannot live on history, but at least we can take pride in it. I know too that our pastoral industry has made a very significant contribution in the face of savage and unyielding environment which would daunt anyone but the toughest of men and women. That it continues to do so in spite of the very difficult conditions we've had over the last couple of years or so, and indeed now. Things may be tough now, but we should not forget that millions of people in the developing world, and they're not very far from us, will need our produce as their standard of living rises, as it undoubtedly will. And that potential market is something to watch very carefully. And I think we shouldn't forget the beautiful buildings and in their time the very good amenities and the facilities which were created and admired by visitors in the early days and are still admired by people who are now coming through the Goldfields area from all over the world. This very town hall, built in as long ago as 1903, and still a magnificent building with the best acoustics, as far as I can judge, in anywhere in the state. And of course, there are other buildings of solid foundation and great architecture. But more important than all that, we bred people who were tough, who had moral and social values, which ensured high standards, both in their business and in their private lives. And this produced the characteristics of courage and fortitude and the friendliness and the loyalty for which the Goldfields people are still very famous. It also produced the practice of people in need of a helping hand to look for it first at the end of their own right arm. People came here during the period of economic depression in Australia as a whole to make money, of course they did, to improve their lot. But they were prepared to fight the elements and endure the hardship for it. And when bad times came, they were resilient enough to shrug them off and bounce back again. And they found time during all that hardship, all that hard work, to create a wonderful cultural life which produced happiness and fulfillment within families in the community. Not only that, because we all will recall with great pride the men and women, and plenty of them there were, who graced the world with their music and their cultural and physical skills. The record is there for all to see. Artists like Eileen Joyce, acclaimed throughout the world as a pianist. Walter Lindrum, without doubt the world's greatest billiard player of his time. Two only that come to me from my own personal knowledge. You will know more. But it is even more important that we should remember that these people were themselves the product of a community which made the time to develop a culture in which a very high proportion of people, young and old, took part. Now this is not small time stuff. It is a record to reflect on with great pride and to spur us on. It is the stuff that has created a true tradition of which we build the fiber and the values for our future. Surely we need to encourage our children to admire the good example of their forebears. And this might be the time to enter a plea for young people to give their support for our community service clubs, because it is through these, and there are many of you here I know, it is through these that they get the satisfaction and the opportunity for helping others less fortunate than themselves. And through these, they learn the meaning and the value of constructive cooperation, which in my view is the best antidote to boredom and that feeling of insecurity promoted by selfishness. Well, that is the backdrop as I see it, so let me change the tune. It has been said with great authority that the economy of the civilized world is based on mining, energy from coal and oil, minerals for the production of nuclear energy, which I, for one, am sure we in Australia will need. For the benefit of this place, here, the Goldfields, I believe we should give wholehearted support for the proposed pilot plant for uranium, which can do no harm whatsoever, but can do a great deal of good. Iron ore and associated minerals for steel production. It's hardly necessary to mention nickel in this company. Phosphates for the fertilizers we need to sustain our rural industry. And gold. Even at this time, with the sophisticated money market of the world, is still a regulating factor of major importance in the economies of most developed countries, quite apart from its intrinsic value. But here I would be irresponsible if I didn't tread warily. Great mining companies can't be expected to risk their capital in a fluctuating market, nor should they risk violent fluctuations in labor requirements. Retrenchments on any scale abhorrent to us all. And obviously, we must do what we can to guard against having to resort to them. But the signs are there for at least a modest revival. And the effect of this will be a spin-off, the most important effect, in my opinion, a spin-off of confidence. Perhaps more important than the statistical increase in employment. But whatever doubts there may be on these particular issues, there is no doubt that we are an established mining community surrounded by a country rich in minerals. And I believe that it follows from that that the long-term future of this area, of which Kalgoorlie and Boulder are the center, is secure. We have very great experience in technological know-how. We have a school of mines famous throughout the world, and we retained it here in Kalgoorlie by persistent effort, didn't we? Times are tough, I know as well as you do. We are dependent, obviously, on a revival of confidence throughout the world, which will reverse this recession which plagues us now. But already there are small signs. Already some leaders, world leaders, see the prospect of some stimulation. And we must be ready for this. Ready to join together, all of us, management and labor alike, to jump on the bandwagon of demand. Demand which will not only revive, but will accelerate. Particularly, I have no doubt, not because I'm a specialist, because I have no personal qualifications whatsoever, but as an observer, particularly that nickel will revive and become the stable backbone of this area of which we are the center. And this will combine to set us on the march again. And so, while we cannot ignore the problems which are so obviously beset us at present, we must all of us look at the broad spectrum and search our hearts to make sure that what we are doing now is not for the short-term gain. But we must see to it that this is not at the expense of the future. It is my firm conviction that many of our troubles at present and some of the gloomy forecasts for the future in all areas are caused by the fashionable practice of sniping at authority in order to score points. And also a short-sighted habit of inflating parochial problems at the expense of perhaps less glamorous but longer term issues which are essential for future improvement and stability of the community and the economy as a whole. And Perhaps this is the moment to emphasize that the office of government is not to confer happiness, but to give people the opportunity to work out happiness for themselves. And to add, without casting bouquets, that my experience recently has been that the local governments do their level best to do just that. Their success depends on the support they get and the willingness of the community to exploit their opportunities unselfishly. And again, without casting bouquets, may I say how good it is to note the coming together, at least in some endeavours, of the town and the shire authorities. 1979 arrangements, for example. And the regional director tells me that things have started well here. A good start. I assure you that I recognise the problems, and this isn't easy, simple, glossing over those problems. But we should never forget that in our bureaucratic world, dissension at local government level is the fuel for indecision and procrastination at the higher level of government, where the ultimate and the financial decisions are made. Don't let us forget that, because that will be to our peril. And it is against this background, I suggest that we must consider not so much what we have or what we want, important though that is, but what we are, and what we need to do to safeguard our heritage and our future. For my part, I support the view expressed here and in other quarters elsewhere, that this place, and I mean Kalgoorlie and Boulder together, will develop more and more as a servicing community, business and social, as the mineral resources of the vast areas surrounding it are developed, and will provide the wealth, as I am sure they will. If this is accepted, we must plan to provide that service. We must revive what used to be consensus about the future, and reverse what is becoming a common practice of peddling a shopping list of things which would be nice to have, but which has not been compiled with an eye on the ultimate goal of prosperity with stability. To do this, I believe we must not only be prepared to compromise, but we must, each and all of us, activate ourselves enthusiastically, confidently, and with faith in the future of this great place. I note, and this is just one thing, I note with some admiration, Your Worship, your own activities in relation to the Eyre Highway gold mine, as you rightly describe it. And I know this is only one of a number of initiatives. And I note, too, the valuable pressures which the Chamber of Commerce is bringing to bear. Now, I suppose I must be very careful here to avoid the criticism that I am straying from my neutral position. But I must add my support for the general suggestion made recently by Mr. Manners that there is an urgent need to avoid government controls as far as possible. I think you used the word, Mr. Manners, handcuffs. And I want to, if you just digress for a moment, and quote to you something which happened to catch my eye. Mr. Manners sent me some papers that he had recently been involved in, and some letters that he'd recently written. And one of them was written to the federal government. And in it, he used this sentence: "Predatory government casting a pall of toxic uncertainty will not revitalize investment in the Australian mining industry. Great stuff, Mr. Manners. It struck me as being forceful and the sort of thing that has got to be said by people who need to show that they can get on with their business themselves. I must ensure myself here a little bit. I believe he was writing to the federal government. Whether it was implied criticism or not, I do not know. But certainly there can be no criticism of the state government in this respect. And I think we should take note of that. And this is where the community service organizations can play a part, a great part. They are a forum for discussion, and with their members covering a pretty wide spectrum of the business and professional community, they can influence affairs, both by the example they set and the pressure that they bring to bear. And Mr. Muir, if you want to revitalize your community service clubs, as you said to me, or you passed a message that you did, well, that is the sort of thing, if I may say so, that you should get into the minds of young people. Because, I repeat, they can influence affairs, both by the example they set and the pressure that they can bring to bear. And also by intercommunication, not only between ourselves, but also with people and agencies outside our community. Because in this field, action is urgently needed. We must not forget that there has been a revolution in communication. Television alone has brought not only its capacity to entertain and to inform, it has brought an even greater capacity to trivialize debate, to turn important issues into fashionable forums where the truth is obscured by people with a particular axe to grind. In some way, this has got to be countered. And the only prescription that I can offer is a return to positive and optimistic attitude by men of knowledge and authority and who can see through this misleading propaganda. Men, and indeed women too, importantly women, who are concerned with the future of the community and who are prepared to stake their reputation on their judgment and to say so. People who recognize that we must sharpen our industrial edge and our approach to our problems if we are to survive in the tough, the competitive market which we find ourselves in today, where things like productivity and our vital ingredients. Ladies and gentlemen, surely we must have confidence and prepare ourselves for better times ahead. Surely we must avoid the pitfalls of despair, of petty quarrels, of lethargy, merely because the good times of affluence and easy living have temporarily deserted us. In times of war or great disaster, men of character and strong moral fiber tighten their belts and reveal resilience and guts which overcome seemingly impossible difficulties. And they also reconcile their differences for the common good. Pettiness disappears, cooperation becomes the order of the day, and pride swells in people's hearts. We have seen it happen here in Kalgoorlie and Boulder before, and we shall see it again, I am certain. Because surely now is the time to pursue and develop these virtues. Now is the time for leadership, tempered by generosity and shrewd judgment, when the benefit of the people as a whole is the criteria and selfish interests take their proper place in the background. When sacrifices are made in the short term for the benefit of the future, we cannot live in the past, I know that full well. I can hear some people say we cannot deal with unemployment, with stagnant business conditions, with depressing forecasts of future prospects by indulging in sentimental reminiscences. If that was all there was to it, I would agree. But we know there is much more to it than that. We know, some of us from personal experience, of the times when things were at a much lower ebb than they are today, and the prospects much less. And yet the good times came back. And they came back partly because of the determination and the constructive attitude of local men and women. Ladies and gentlemen, I for one have no doubt that the good and satisfying times will come back. And even now, there is evidence of help, this even as the state government. We're always sometimes critical of offices like that. But even the state government is offering a helping hand for us to help ourselves. And so let all of us resolve to safeguard the future of our two towns as a community, jealous of our individually, no doubt, but conscious of our interdependence. Conscious too that our predecessors gave us a great heritage, which might be expressed in terms of hard work and practical cooperation. And that this heritage belongs not only to ourselves, but to the future. And so let us address ourselves to the future, working together for each other, so that however long this place exists, men and women will say, this was the time when goldfielders showed their true worth and their true spirit. Thank you.